From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief. Hi, it's Chloe. August 4th, 10 in health. The one that made me reread the abstract is at the top. Let's get into it. First, from Sincerely, Vivi. Mimi 68, soaked. Remember last week I told you it was an intense week? It was 2 days of trial debut, then straight to a full weekend of hosting our wellness retreat in Jundabake, which was so fun BTW. 60 mins or 90 mins? The lady asked sweetly. My heart answered 90 minutes, but my brain stopped it from being greedy. 60 mins, I replied. As I was happily choosing my oil, I had no idea something was happening in my home. Without a care in the world at that spa, I was deciding between lavender oil or lemongrass oil. It was 60 minutes of pure bliss. Next. Second, from Family Troubles. Why Modern Marriage and Family Feel So Hard, historian Stephanie Kuntz explains. In this episode of Family Troubles, I sit down with Stephanie Kuntz, Director of Research and Public Education for the Council on Contemporary Families and Emeritus Faculty of History and Family Studies at the Evergreen State College. Stephanie is one of the most influential historians of marriage, gender, and family life, and her work has helped reshape how we understand the myths and realities of family across history. Up next. Third, from Scary Mummy, I'm Not Built to Mother, and 45 Other Mum Confessions. Guilt, shame, regret, confusion, exhaustion. I'm sure every one of us has experienced these emotions more often than we'd like to admit, and no doubt about it, motherhood isn't easy. While things may look like sunshine and rainbows on the outside, there are plenty of days where these feelings refuse to leave your mind. Maybe you're feeling guilty because you don't spend enough time with your kids. Maybe you cheated on your husband and don't know how to find a sense of normalcy again. And then, fourth, from Kvela, the Hebrew word at the heart of East of Eden. Netflix is rolling out a limited series of Steinbeck's East of Eden, with Florence Pugh and Christopher Abbott leading, and Zoe Kazan handling the script. The production nods to the 1955 film her grandfather directed, so there's already a lot of buzz about how faithful it will be to the novel. The heart of the book is a Hebrew word, timshel, that pops up in a short but pivotal passage where Lee, Samuel, and Adam discuss the Cain and Abel story. After digging into the original Hebrew, Lee concludes timshel means thou mayest, a subtle way of saying we always have the option to rule over sin rather than being commanded or promised anything. That idea of free will versus destiny drives the novel's generational drama. Adam raises twin sons, Aaron the idealist, and Cal the jealous, each echoing Cain and Abel. The series will likely keep that tension, though the trailer hints Kathy might be portrayed with more nuance than the book's outright villain. We'll have to wait until the show arrives to see how much of the timeshell discussion makes it on screen, but the core question, whether we can choose our path, remains the same. If you haven't read the novel lately, it's a good time to revisit it and see how that ancient word still resonates. Next. Fifth, from Kvela. How Summertime Forever became a beloved camp song across America. There's a song I grew up with at sleepaway camp. It was my camp's song. Maybe you sang it too. Well, I only wish that we could stay and spend the rest of every day in a place where it's summertime forever. Matt Stamm wrote Summertime Forever for his Color War team at Camp Harlem in Kunkeltown, Pennsylvania in 2001. Its lyrics are a testament to our chapel on the hill, a shout out to the longtime camp director, Ari Gluck, Zijil, and an homage to another Color War-born song Matt grew up singing, Stars in the Sky. Honestly, I grew up loathing Summertime Forever. It felt corny. Up next. Sixth, from the Workspace for Children. Your kids' passion isn't yours to find. The truth is, kids need time to explore and figure out what they enjoy on their own. My son's interest in flying developed organically, without me forcing it. I intentionally gave him space to mess around and get bored, which allowed him to discover his passion. This approach is not about being permissive or neglectful, but about giving kids the freedom to explore and develop their own interests. The "find your passion" mantra can be overwhelming and damaging, especially for kids. It's a reminder that we should focus on providing a supportive environment rather than trying to engineer specific outcomes. By doing so, we can help our kids develop a sense of self and confidence rather than constantly worrying about what they're missing. It's also worth noting that it's okay if our kids don't have a clear passion or interest at a young age. Many people, including myself, didn't discover their passion until much later in life. By giving our kids the space to explore and develop their own interests, we can help them build a strong foundation for a happy and fulfilling life. Ultimately, the key is to find a balance between providing opportunities and giving kids the freedom to explore. By doing so, we can help our kids develop a sense of purpose and direction without putting undue pressure on ourselves or them. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. If this saved you time, the full feed is free at storyflow.com.